What's up, everybody? There's a couple of people we want to thank for supporting us this month on Patreon. Kicking it off with Daniel Fuentes.
Dan Snow.
Luke Asink.
Andrew Richardson.
Brett Macris.
Jeffrey Risher.
Matthew Wood.
Matt Fennell.
Mike Dargenio.
Zico's Viral Comics.
Weens 234.
Dennis Scott.
Victor Perez.
W. Blaine.
Mitchell McDonald.
Demand Ryan.
Curtis LaRock.
Hugo Sanchez.
Jason Kelly.
Michael Sturgeon.
And Trevor Matthew. Thanks, guys. Now on with the show.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Peach.
What's up, everybody? Yeah. Welcome to Comic Book Club. Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Man of the Booth, Booth Bad Prime.
Booth Bad Prime.
We just hit the prime time. Gosh, you guys.
I was thinking we could talk tonight about how Cloak & Dagger is coming, and we're launching a new Cloak & Dagger podcast called Cloak & Jabber.
Yes. So we have this new podcast. We've been doing a bunch of TV podcasts. The latest one, like you said, Cloak & Dagger. Justin over here, I'll give him full credit,
came up with
the name Cloak & Jabber. The music supervisor of Cloak & Dagger was like, A-plus dad joke, dude.
Yeah, and I was like, that's sort of a compliment.
Well, he said
you
he
are a dad,
yeah,
and you do
dad.
Write jokes for a living.
Yeah,
so.
But you could also get a dad joke that takes some of the, I don't know, balls out from underneath it.
I don't know.
Are you ashamed of being a father?
No. I like doing that. But if someone's like, man, this guy writes dad jokes his whole day, I'd be like, wow.
No, it's just one joke. Thing he called it. It's not like he called all of your writing.
That's right. I'm not breaking my heart over it.
Yeah, okay. Well, actually, I responded, and I was like, thank you so much. I'm so glad you like it. And he was like, who's the fucking ass who came up with this joke? And I was like, oh, that's Justin.
Oh, no. I like how you pointed to yourself and said Justin.
Throws him right under the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go. But you can check that out. That is in its own podcast feeds, Cloak & Jabber on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, probably a couple of other places.
But promo aside, we've seen a couple episodes, and man, this show is good.
Yeah.
It is very good.
It's great.
Yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised. Well, listen to the podcast.
I want to mention, if you've ever listened to any of our podcasts, and this is not trying to be mean to Pete, Pete has bad opinions.
Fuck you! Fuck you, dude! You cannot say that. You have bullshit opinions.
No, yeah. Okay. Here's what I'm going to say.
Opinions.
Your problems with Cloak & Dagger are based more on how it is emotionally affecting you.
Yes, I'm a very emotional person.
It's emotions that happen inside of you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But I think it's a direct result of an infection of horrible opinion. I think this is what was happening here. You have a chronic case of bad opinions. It's a medical condition.
Screw you,
it's a medical condition.
Speaking
we're going to get you
which,
help.
I just want to mention in terms of bad opinions, when you put your hand like this in front of us, you're crossing yourself on stage.
Oh, that's some classically trained actor shit.
Fuck both of you. Let's bring on our guests.
Wait. I want to mention one more thing while we're doing some business here at the top of the show. If you do support us through our Patreon, thank you very much. There's a certain level where you can join our sticker club. We're going to be sending out some stickers pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a fan of Justin Tyler
JT Sizz.
Yeah. Justin Tyler over here, then you're going to be pretty happy with the stickers we're sending you.
Great. Let's not reveal exactly what it is.
Yeah, good.
Stay tuned. It'll be in the mail pretty soon. You know what's not in the mail is our guest backstage. Yeah. He is the creator of Vengeance Nevada, among other things. Ladies and gentlemen, BJ Mendelsohn!
Yeah, BJ! Welcome to the show! Have a seat, have a microphone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. First of all, I have to apologize because there are two pits. We perform at the Pit Loft, if you're listening at home. There's also the Pit, which is all the way across town. We sent you there accidentally instead of over here, so I'm really sorry about that.
No, it's all good. I got bad karma at that place.
Oh, do you?
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
So I was there about 6 years ago with Scott Rakowski from Running Late Live and with Gabby Dunn. Both of them have since surpassed me career-wise.
Oh, no.
I mean, so Scott's a host HQ. Like, yeah. I don't know about...
That's pretty big. That's pretty big. Also, I'd like to mention that's good news for us in this case.
Yeah, definitely.
I think so. I do seem to be the good luck charm.
Exactly.
You've written a comic book, so for a lot of people, you've surpassed both of them.
There you go.
We'll see. It's on print. It's just a Comixology book for another week or two.
But see, yeah. I'm trying to help you out, and you keep undercutting.
Yeah. See, I'm that guy. Like, I brought a puppet with me because I was afraid. So I brought it for my niece, is the official cover story. But I also brought it because I was like, all right, if this goes south, we're breaking out the puppet.
Oh, wow. So let's hope the puppet doesn't come out, because that's how we know.
I kind of want to ruin the show now.
Yeah, how far south does it have to go? Because we can go there real fast.
Yeah. Well, we're an R-rated podcast, right? Not an X-rated. I think that there's...
Oh, no, we do a lot of live sex acts.
What?
No, let me explain with the puppet. So,
We have never, sir.
I live in upstate New York,
yeah,
where nothing happens.
Wait, we're in upstate New York.
Yeah, so my family, I take care of, I have two aging parents and two mentally disabled brothers, so I'm there taking care of them. Mm-hmm. And so when we go out, we do really boring shit, like go to an arts and crafts fair. Mm-hmm. And so at the arts and crafts fair was this big display of puppets. And we're talking like Jim Henson quality puppets. And I was like, okay, I am not leaving without one of those fuckers.
Yeah. Wow.
So of course I grabbed it, I gave it a name, his name is Ogginsburg.
Wait, do you live up in Ogginsburg?
I used to live up in Potsdam.
That's where I'm from up there. My wife's from Potsdam. That's where my family lives.
Okay, this is really fucking weird because I was doing a presentation in Virginia for a bunch of senior citizens, and I mentioned Clarkson University, and one of them gets up, comes over, and fist bumps me.
Oh, I thought you never say punched you.
And I've never been in the presence of someone from Ogginsburg.
No, so I go up there. I was up there 2 weeks ago.
I would also like to mention, for a comic book podcast, we spend a lot of time talking about upstate New York.
Hell yeah.
Well, it's a Rochester, garbage people. Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Well, let's talk about your comic books. So, Vengeance Nevada came out on Comixology.
I'm excited to see this puppet.
What?
No, he's going to bring it out if we hit rock bottom.
Yeah, if we hit rock bottom.
Okay.
If we tank, if we completely tank.
What do you think, Peter? Are we going to get there?
Yeah, we are.
Wait, you don't have an emergency puppet ready at any time?
I don't.
We just have never hit rock bottom because we're fucking killers all day. But I've got four puppets sitting right behind here, right?
Crazy, man. Anyway, so Vengeance Nevada, what's the pitch for the book? What's the idea for those who haven't picked it up yet?
Well, it comes from two places, right? First is Ghost Rider is really fucking boring. What if we make Ghost Rider interesting again?
Nice.
And that was the initial.
I just want to mention the show just hit rock bottom for Pete when you said that.
Really?
Yeah, he loves
Ghost
Rider.
Okay, so can I give you my Ghost Rider thing real quick?
Yes.
Okay, Infinity Gauntlet. The original, not the movie.
Right.
At the height of Ghost Rider's popularity, came out at the same time. He's fucking nowhere. He's nowhere. All the Marvel flagship characters there, but Ghost Rider. So
arguably, he's smart. He got out of the way of that.
Yeah.
Because that didn't turn out well for anybody.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. But I was convinced at that point, it's like, all right, he's cool looking, but clearly the writers don't know what to do with him after a certain point.
Because he's very... technically, he could have just, like, won quickly.
I mean, they made two
Just pen and stare movies.
I mean, it's not like a horrible character.
No, he's so sad right now. Are you okay, Pete?
Yeah.
Pete's giving me the pen.
Also, have you read the new stuff where it's driving a car?
Yes.
It's pretty awesome.
And I want to be clear, like, this was before Cosmic Ghost Rider, and this was going back about 3 years ago. So it's really before a couple, like, Robbie Reyes has really taken off. So, but at the time, it was like, what if we can make Ghost Rider interesting? The second thing was, what if you suddenly got everything you ever wanted? And I found that people, in doing the social media research for that book, people get kind of shitty when they suddenly get to viral fame, or you start to find out that like they're rabid anti-Semites, or they're like a serial killer or something, like Ken Bone. Does anyone know who Ken Bone is?
Yeah, I think he's in the house tonight, so be careful.
Yeah, just be careful.
So for those of you who don't know, like Ken Bone, he was at the presidential debate. He became like a national celebrity for all of 2 weeks, and then his Reddit profile was discovered, and he had like these really quirky fetishes and all that started like leaking out of him. So I'm convinced that if people actually got everything they ever wanted, they would become supervillains.
Mm.
And I really wanted to explore that. So this is really the story of someone who did get everything they ever wanted, and then she decides, fuck it, I'm going to be evil.
Wow. Huh, nice.
Now, wait, we should come back to this book in a second, but you mentioned another book that people might not be totally familiar with. It's Social Media is Bullshit.
Yeah, so
is that,
Social Media is Bullshit.
That's a book. That's
a book.
Yeah,
it should have been a comic. I get that a lot. when I was working on the privacy book, they're like, it's going to be a comic, right? No, can't. But yeah, Social Media is Bullshit was the big book, and then the second book was Privacy and How We Get Back. By the way, when Social Media is Bullshit came out, I was on CNN, and I had this similar moment to coming out for your show, where, they're all at a table, and they're all supposed to be chit-chatting and bullshitting, and you're supposed to walk out. So the producer comes over to me and goes, "Walk naturally."
It was like a dare?
Yeah, I was like, "What the fuck is that?" She's like, just walk. Just walk the way you went on the street to the table. And of course, if you watch the footage, I'm fucking walking out there like Shaft. How you doing? How you doing? And everyone at the table just turns and looks at me like, "Oh, you do not belong here. Like, you are completely out of place." So when I was walking out, he was like, "What if I'm not walking naturally enough?" So
you look amazing.
Yeah, okay. You look fantastic. I've seen some walks, and that was impressive.
Honestly, I felt like I heard city noises because you were so naturally on the city streets right when you walked.
Yeah, wow. That's really cool.
I really went there.
That's great. So you published this book, and then right. What led to the creation of the comic book? I mean, clearly you're a comic book fan, yeah. But what led to, you know, pulling the plug there? And then,
so I've been doing shitty web comics since about 2002. They were distributed by like MTV at one point and CBS back when CBS owned a college wire service called UWire, but they were really bad. I'm convinced that they were only syndicated because they didn't have anything else. Like, they're just like, "All right, just put it on the wire. We don't care."
Well, I used to work at MTV when we published those comics. Go on.
Weird confrontation.
I just feel like I need to get a shovel and start digging. I already ripped on Ghost Rider, and I'm bagging on MTV. I love MTV. They gave me my first break, so I can't.
Yeah. No, it's okay. They fired me. Don't worry about it. Okay.
Yeah, nice.
Fuck MTV.
Whoa, all right.
Jesus, this got dark.
Well, I didn't like MTV after they stopped playing music videos. So.
Nice. Oh, my Bold God. Bold stance, Grandpa.
I obviously don't work there anymore, but that was honestly the most annoying thing. I would go to comic conventions and be "What does the M stand for?" And I was like, "Your mom."
Oh, wow. Also, great comeback. Yeah. It's funny, Pete.
Then I'd cry in my hotel room for like 5
MTV
hours.
Has just found renewed success by making more reality television. So.
Yeah, great idea. I guess reality television. That's what we need.
You're somehow disengaged with the youth.
I didn't say I was engaged with the youth.
Great. Yeah.
Do you know what the M now stands for? It stands for TV.
It's a food.
Yes, 100%. So
Millennial Food Network.
You were doing the webcomics. You were inspired to do this.
But I never felt confident enough in them. I felt like it wasn't good enough to put out an actual book. So 2015, I've done social media's bullshit. I traveled all over the world. I was in like Wales and Moscow, and I was just fucking exhausted. Like, I was living out of hotels, and I was like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. I very much like to do something that's not this. So I sat down and started writing a novel called Vengeance Nevada, which was about a small town sheriff who accidentally comes into possession of a supervillain's armory and doesn't know what it is. And she starts selling it on eBay. Uh-oh. And the supervillain finds out and wants all his shit back. And so that was the plot of the book. And I was like, this would work way better as a comic. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the start of it. Was I wrote the book and I was like, I'm just gonna put on the shelves for now, but let's actually do it as a comic and see what it looks like. So that's where it started.
So what has your experience been like working with Comixology? They've been going through a lot of changes lately, particularly in the past week or so. They launched Comixology Originals, which is not just digital comic books, but print comic books that they're delivering through Amazon. You gave a little bit of a sigh there.
Yeah, so this is a couple of things. First is that I'm convinced not as many people know what Comixology is as I would like to think. And my brother's a good example where I'm going to go visit him in Queens with the puppet. The puppet's for my niece.
This is making more sense.
Yeah, so the puppet's for my niece. And so he's like, "Oh, you're doing a comic book show?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Where can I get your comic? Can I get it at Midtown Comics?" I'm like, they would laugh me out the door. It's on Comixology. He's like, "Oh, the thing I steal your password for?" So there's that. But the second thing that was really frustrating is that when you submit to Comixology, I don't know if you guys have gone through this process, but they'll send you a short email that says, "Congratulations, you're in Comixology. We'll get back to you after blah, blah, blah." And then they, after a month, they'll write to you and be like, "Hey, you need to reformat like this panel or this panel."
Sure.
As this is going on, you do not know when your book is going to launch. You have no idea whatsoever. So you go through the motions, you fix everything, and then it's like radio silence for 2 months. And then all of a sudden, you'll get an email, "Hey," which is what happened to me, the week before Thanksgiving. They're like, "Hey, BJ, your book is coming out the Wednesday before Thanksgiving."
Oh, that's prime time.
That's right. Good luck promoting it. We'll see you later. So, I mean, look, there's good and the bad. Because in their defense, Apple's like that. So I've worked on building different apps, and Apple and Google do not tell you when something's going to come out, which is kind of shitty because if anyone remembers Flappy Bird, the reason why Flappy Bird became a thing was because the dude sat and waited for it to launch And within the first hour of launching, you can manipulate iTunes if you have enough people buying and downloading and rating and doing all that. So that's how Flappy Bird became a thing. So Apple does the same thing where they don't tell you when something launches, and Google does the same thing where you just have no clue. So for the most part, I was lucky. The comics media has been great. Newsarama was the only one that was kind of like, you know, we want to cover it before it comes out. But that didn't hurt me in any way. So for all the trouble it is of not knowing when the book launches, it's nice having it there.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? Are you going to continue the book at this point with Comixology or otherwise?
Yeah, so I'm going to print it. So I'm, you know, the people give like really terrible life advice or career advice to comic creators. They'll tell you, live your dream and work hard. And I'm more like, keep your day job and like do this slowly until something actually starts to catch, and then you can expand it. So I'm going to go and do like a mini launch in Toronto. Cool. It's only going to be available in Toronto comic shops.
Start in Canada. That's good advice.
Yeah, well, I mean, Canada, they're all nice, right? So they hate the book.
They can't refuse it.
That's right.
they might lay all businesses fire. Start in Canada.
What?
All businesses start in Canada.
Sabbath did. Like, my parents used to tell me the story all the time where Black Sabbath, the original debut album, was out in Canada for 6 months before it came out to the States. Like, they did a soft launch there. So I was kind of like, okay, if this is good enough for Ozzy, it's good enough for me. Wow. So that's the next step.
That's a great fact that I wouldn't have guessed.
What else do you want to plug? What else should people check out?
Yeah, so I'm in the middle of revising Social Media's Bullshit. So I'm giving away the revisions for free on the website. In fact, if people go to my website at bjmendelsohn.com on the contact page, I have my actual phone number.
Great choice.
Yeah, it's
great
worked.
Piece of advice.
So far, it's worked out okay. My fans are kind of weird. They're kind of like, so I've been doing a bunch of interviews, and people are like, aren't you worried about getting dick pics? I said, well, I'm bi, so that's not really that big of a deal. but then they were like, okay, well, seriously, if you were to get dick pics. So far, I haven't gotten any dick pics. I have gotten pictures of Richard Nixon. But my point is, like, if you go to the website and you find my phone number, you could send me the word sheetrock, which is spelled exactly as it sounds, sheetrock, and I'll send you a free PDF of Social Media's Bullshit. So that's the big book. Like, that's the thing I'm working on right now that's consuming my life at the moment. And then there's a privacy book, but, you know, like, it's short. It's $10. It's got dick jokes in it. So if that's your thing, you can buy it. If not, that's okay. Privacy's in the news. Zuckerberg was caught lying before Congress, so hopefully you guys will check it out, too.
Why sheetrock?
Okay.
Is that a weird question?
No.
That's a very weird code.
So, yeah, it's a safe word for a friend of mine. So I'm always wondering like how much I could say in interviews because I don't want her to like get offended that like people know about it. She knows that this has become like the code word that's been used all over the world. I just thought it was really funny because what would happen is as people were texting me the word sheetrock, I would text her and be like, hey, guess what happened? And I'll send her like stuff from like I got something from like Mozambique and from Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur, and I've been getting it from all over the world, and so I keep sending it to her. I'm saying, like, look, your safe word is world famous.
Wow.
So it's really just me trolling.
Safe word.
What was that?
International safe word.
International safe word. So it's me just trolling someone, which is what I do when I'm not writing comics.
Seems like she's the opposite of safe in that case. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right, check all of that stuff out. We're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah.
And in The Stack, we're going to talk about a couple of comic books that came out this week. Let's kick it off with a big one, Amazing Spider-Man, number 800 from Marvel Comics, which is also almost about 800 pages long.
Yes, very long.
Yeah. So this is not the final issue of Dan Slott's run, but this is a big anniversary issue. Second to last issue of his run, actually. He's going to be wrapping up next issue. Yeah. But this is bring to a head the Red Goblin storyline. If you haven't been reading it, the Green Goblin was taken over by Carnage, became the Red Goblin, and of course is trying to fuck up Spider-Man's life as much as possible.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think about this?
Well, first, I was surprised. I thought this would be his last issue. Like, he made it to 800, like, walk off with that. Like, why do 801? That seems a little weird. This, I thought, was a really great issue. I thought Dan Slott did an amazing job. There was a lot of fun moments, except for the go get 'em tugger, which was bullshit. But other than that, it was pretty solid.
I was surprised by this. Dan Slott is someone who loves Spider-Man. He may be the person that loves Spider-Man the most.
I think that comes through in this.
I feel like, though, he touches a lot of characters, but there's so much going on when it comes to, like, well, Venom's here, but the anti-Venom's also here, and we're dealing with all this other stuff, and all these, like, smaller characters where we don't get the big moments. Like, I don't get inside of Peter Parker's head at all in this.
Yeah.
I don't. There's no real moment with Mary Jane. There's very little with Aunt May. Like, I don't know what this means as a summation of his run.
It seemed like just kind of like a... Just a kind of shout out to all the stuff he's kind of touched a little bit.
I will take that, but I do think that makes the story sort of scattershot, and it didn't conjure a lot of like emotions in me. It felt like watching a bunch of news, and I'm like, whoa, so much is going on with this.
Even, let's talk about a big
emotional
big spoiler that happens in this issue: is Flash Thompson dies while trying to save Spider-Man.
I thought that was great.
What?
No, just
you
the way
you liked it. You no, liked it the, when Flash Thompson died, Pete.
No, just the
Flash
way.
Thompson, his high school bully, who went on to become a soldier, who lost his legs, who was later became Venom, and then went into space with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and then came back, and then is now died on the rooftop as Venom.
Well, you're forgetting one part. I thought the touching part was the fact that Flash Thompson, who was his bully, said that Spider-Man was his hero.
And he's always said that, though.
Right. Fuck, I'm building to something, you dick. And then,
just like Dan Slott.
And then at the end, Spider-Man said, Flash Thompson, you're my hero. And I thought that was very touching.
That was nice.
Yes. What I was going to say, though, is that I didn't realize Flash Thompson died until they got to the end.
Agreed.
And at the funeral, and they're like, poor Flash, he's dead. And I was like, oh, did I miss that? Did that happen at some point?
It seemed like a comic book, like oh, he's very injured, and then they move on. So, yes,
yeah,
I agree
100%.
With you.
I agree with your point that it felt like, as great as the art was, and he brought back a bunch of artists that Dan Slott has worked with over the course of this run, I think what he was doing was he was holding back for his last issue, for 801, to make his statement about Spider-Man. And this is more him saying a lot about all the eras of Spider-Man, because this is Spider-Man 800. Mm-hmm. That's what I took away from it, which I agree with you was a little bit of a bummer, honestly.
Yeah, and honestly, it didn't touch a ton of eras. It was just like, it was all like symbiote stuff. And I was like, haven't we done enough? Haven't we seen enough symbiotes?
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of goo. Why do we have to keep
now
doing this over and over
again?
Sounds
like the old man.
It's not old to say I'm done with symbiotes. Like, do you hear old people saying that?
Oh, yeah.
I'm done with Simbi.
I don't like the goo it gets on my fingers.
Nice.
What are you,
what
talking,
are you
about?
Talking about? What old people are you hanging out with? Very curious about that. Ask later.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Amazing Spider-Man, fan of Dan Slott's run at all?
I'm a big Dan Slott fan. I was in the bag for him way back when he was writing She-Hulk. That's actually inspired me to hopefully someday write the book as well. That's been my big pitch for Marvel's to do Law and Order, but with She-Hulk in it as the lead. I'm not a big Green Goblin guy, so as it started building up towards him getting some powers back, I was just like, I'm not sold on it completely. But look, Slott stuff is good even when it's not at its best. He's still a decent writer, so I've always been reading it, always been liking it. I don't miss Flash Thompson. I thought that, now that Venom is back and he's got his own series, they were going to kill. Like, he seemed expendable.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that to me was not too much of a surprise. But all that said, I feel like he's saving his capstone for 801. I think this was sort of like, all right, 800 is going to be the anniversary issue. A lot of people are going to come out who necessarily haven't been reading all 10 years or so of Slott's work. So I think in 801, we're going to see him really sort of like put the bow on things.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right, there we go. Let's move on to another comic book, Lazarus, number 28 from Image Comics. Justin, you want to talk about this one?
Yes, I love this book.
This is your pick.
Definitely. Why are you pointing at me in an accusatory, in a j'accuse?
You were like, let's talk about this.
I love this book a lot.
He said that.
We get to choose what we talk about.
Yeah.
So,
why are you saying that in an accusatory manner?
J'accuse!
Of all the great stuff that came out, we're talking about Lazarus number fucking.
We haven't talked about this in a long time.
Yeah,
this is a great comic book.
It was a great book.
Okay, wait. Can I cut in on Lazarus?
Yeah.
Because I was not a fan. I read the first two books.
Preach.
and I was bored. And okay. I am rarely bored by...
Like Ghost Rider bored or just regular bored?
Ghost Rider bored.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
fuck you, man. I was on your side, and then you fucking did that.
No, so here's my question for you. Sell me on Lazarus.
Yeah!
Okay, whoa. Jesus. So Lazarus,
sell us all on it.
Lazarus is, if no one's been reading it, it's set in a dystopian future where corporations have split up the Earth, basically, and run it. It's boring, sort of, but it's also literally happening. So you should pay attention at least a little bit. The writer, Greg Rucka, talks a lot in the backpit matter about like science and how the advances of that are happening literally right now in the world lead up to
the
characters.
Wait, there are advances happening right now in the world?
You should actually pay attention.
This is a great comic.
So the main character, who we haven't seen in a few issues, is the sort of weapon of one of these powerful corporation families. Each corporation has a Lazarus, and they are their warrior, that they regenerate their bodies and everything. This two-issue arc features the son of the family who was like cast out. He washes up on the shore of a much smaller family, lives in this town, has a life, has a family after he's had this horrible situation happen to him. And you just see sort of the sidelines of a war and how it's affecting these people. It's great to sell it to you. It's great characters, a smart, really thought-out world that has applications to our world, which I think is really hard to do effectively in comics. And it's just a whole package for great sci-fi stories.
Did he sell you?
No.
Yeah.
No. But here's my thing with like, so I'm a big Image reader, but one of the problems, like my favorite series in the past 10 years has been Revival.
What about Saga?
Saga's up there. Not as much as Revival. Revival to me was probably one of the best sleeper hits of the past 10 years. The only problem with it is that like a lot of Image books, because the creator has so much control over it, they tend to get bloated. Like at one point, Revival had like an Amish ninja warrior toward the end of the book that took like...
You just sold Pete on it.
Yeah, I mean, she's cool, but it takes like 7 issues to explain why she's there and what her backstory is. And all of that's happening as the series is starting to wind down. So Lazarus to me is kind of in that same boat where it's got a great premise and great idea and great art. And I like Greg Rucka's stuff, but I also feel like it's kind of bloated and it's hard just to get into.
I would argue that you should read, but you've only read the first 2 issues?
First 2 books.
First 2 trades.
Oh, okay. There is a boat in here. You mentioned being in the same boat, and there's a boat in here, so if that's
so you would love it.
Yeah, there you go. I'm actually surprised you don't like this, because this is the story of this guy who gets driven away from his family, his entire family gets killed, he comes back, and then it's him and his baby off for vengeance. You love that shit, Pete.
I do love vengeance.
Yeah, no, all of that
the vengeance
shit.
Part was very small of that book. It was
if
more
this,
like, hey,
if this was a
this crazy
if they,
shit.
If they, we just scratched out the character's name, Jonas, and put Wolverine in there, you'd be like, this is the fucking best comic
cool,
book.
Yeah, he does. We don't get to see him whoop ass, though. It's just like shitty things happen to him, and then he
did
stows
like
away because he's scared.
Did you like the first issue of Old Man Logan?
Yes.
What about the second issue?
Yep.
Third issue?
Mm-hmm.
Fourth issue?
Yep.
Fifth issue?
You're going to get yes every time.
Well, but then the sixth issue, he popped his claws and he killed people, but the first 5 issues, he was like, I'm not going to pop my claws.
Yeah, but...
Just think of every character that doesn't have claws as not yet popping their claws. Right?
Yep.
Think of, like, honestly, think of us in the show, like, we haven't popped our claws yet either.
haven't after 13 years,
I'm
I don't know why
it.
You're waiting
I'm
for
I'm going to pop my claws.
When he's talking about claws, he's talking about those puppets, but I'm talking about claws.
Yeah, Alex has real claws.
Yeah. They're also puppets. I'm
sorry. He has
I'm
puppets at the end of his claws.
Great. Lazarus blows. Let's move on.
No, this is a great book. You suck. Let's talk about our last book, Super Sons, Dynamite and the Blue Falcon, #1 from DC Comics. Now,
right?
DC has been doing a bunch of these mashups between their characters and the Looney Tunes characters. They are all so much better that they have any right to be.
Yeah, it's surprising.
Insane. What'd you guys think about this issue?
This was awesome. This was a lot of fun. Really well done. Very sweet. Kind of cool story, and I've forgotten how much I love Blue Falcon. Like, just seeing him, I was like, oh, fucking yeah.
Yeah, and the dog.
Yeah, dog's cool.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I like this a lot, too. They do such a great job with this book. The art is great, and they weave the Blue Falcon and Dynamite into the Batman universe very seamlessly. Blue Falcon was one of the international heroes of Batman Incorporated, which I thought was really fun.
Yeah.
It's very dark at points. Dynamite is trying to save Blue Falcon, who's been overtaken by this vulture that he reanimated earlier on when he was a kid, and then Dinobot has to save his life. It's just a great, great story.
Yeah. Have you been reading any of these books?
So I picked up Black Lightning and Hong Kong Phooey.
Oh, nice.
I love Black Lightning, and yeah. I grew up with Hong Kong Phooey, so I did not know what to expect. I didn't realize how dark it was going to be. Like, Hong Kong Phooey is telling you about how he served in Nam and how like he's bathed in the blood of the people he served with. I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now? So it's good. I didn't pick this one because I picked up Black Lightning instead. But have you guys been reading Snagglepuss?
I read an issue or two of that, which I really liked a lot.
Yeah, they're basically doing Tennessee Williams.
Yeah, the same guy that did, what's his name, Mike Gleason, something like that. He did Flintstones.
Yes.
And,
yeah,
that was awesome.
Which is also really good.
So I love the Flintstones.
Yeah. I know this sounds crazy that we're saying all this stuff, but it really is like these serious takes. They don't feel forced. They are actually doing riffs on them that really work, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
Woo! Our next section is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, and for that, I'm going to come out to you guys. All you have to do is ask a question either for our amazing guest over here or for all of us. Just raise your hand. You, sir, first hand up guy. What's your name? What's your question?
Kevin, and I'll go right off what we've just been discussing. You know, I love when you get a really good, serious take on something that seems so superficially silly. Or has been silly in the past. And what, besides the Hanna-Barbera, are some of your favorite things that either this way or just something you thought, that idea cannot possibly be any good, but you loved it?
Interesting.
Good something, question.
So specifically something goofy that should be taken more seriously?
Yeah. Or just maybe something you were surprised by. You thought it was going to be goofy, but it turned out to be serious or potentially... It just wasn't what you expected.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. BJ, you got something?
Venom.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know how many people remember now, but when Venom was created by Tom McFarlane, like, he was big and dumb, and he would say things like, I want to eat your brains.
Yeah, that was like the only thing he said.
Yeah, was I want to eat your brains. Like, they even came out with an action figure that said, I want to eat your brains.
Yes, I remember
that. That was Venom for a really long time, and when I saw they were like, oh no, he's cool now. He's got his own series, and now he's got his own movie, and now he's got his own series. I never in a million years did I think that they were going to pull it off and make it a compelling character, but hats off to them. They really did a fantastic job.
Cool. Nice. What about you guys? You got any answers there?
Do you got one?
I'll say I was very surprised when they brought back the character Slapstick to the Deadpool books. I was like, this was like a 4-issue almost joke a long time ago, back in the 90s, and they effectively brought back that character and is technically still around.
Yeah,
and he's a clown. He's literally a clown.
I mean, that makes me think of Penance. When Penance came back and he had the spikes going
inward.
But
did you like that?
That surprised you how good it was.
Yeah, I was surprised at how well done it was.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was like just going to be so stupid, but I thought it was really actually very powerful and very cool. Also, something that I was surprised by was when they killed off Captain America and then Falcon take over, and I loved it so much, and it was
really
such a bold move, and I was like, why would you kill him? But then I was like, oh, this is amazing.
This is not exactly accurate to your question, but I think when they brought back Blue Beetle, I was surprised how different it was and how epic it got. Like, Blue Beetle was always Ted Kord was always a very silly character, like paired with Booster Gold. They were off having goofy adventures. And when it came back as Jaime Reyes, it was still played as a teen book, but it was also this epic emotional space adventure that played out so well. So
Let me also throw out the cartoon Adventure Time. That to me, a cartoon that seemed so like goofy and whatever. Like the mythology of that show, like that, I've cried watching that children's cartoon multiple times. Like it's so good.
I got a serious one.
Yeah,
Mad Men. Like Mad Men should not have worked on multiple levels for multiple reasons. it really should not have worked, because advertising is a dirty business, and having worked in the ad agency world, no one is really likable enough to carry a show. And yet it went on for like 6 or 7 seasons to the point where it's become like almost like a cult classic. And so to me, that alone should not have worked, but it worked really well.
That's all John Hamm. Hamm power. Yeah. Powered by
100%.
The hand power.
All right, let's get another question. I saw your hand up. Can you come over here? This mic cord is short. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Brandon Medina, and my question, I actually have two. So the first is a ghostwriter question, and it's, isn't it that ghostwriter really works best as a villain? If you just make up some lame demon for him to kick around for an issue, no one cares, but if it's Ghost Rider versus Daredevil, or Ghost Rider versus Blade or S.H.I.E.L.D., then you really got something. And my second question is, you guys said before that you're going to have stickers. Have you thought of doing the trading cards, like the Marvel cards from the 90s, and then you have, like, in the plastics, the one page, like, you add them all up, they equal to a page, or, like, the hologram cards?
If you know the Hildebrandt brothers, weren't they the dudes that painted those?
I feel like our power ratings would be crazy low. Like, do they do negatives?
I think it's endurance yourself, is pretty
speak
strong.
Yeah.
Endurance is strong.
That's a great idea. What do you guys think about the Ghost Rider thing? Does he work better as a villain? I'll actually ask you, BJ, since you hate him so much.
Well, that's basically what I'm doing, right, is writing a villain that's essentially a Ghost Rider. And how I got to it was essentially for that reason. He's too powerful. Robbie Reyes is cool, but my issue, I don't know if anyone's reading Avengers right now, but they're writing Robbie Reyes as Spider-Man, which to me, it doesn't make him unique. It really doesn't bring that character to life for me. So my whole thing was like, all right, let's take a look at like Breaking Bad. You're watching a villain. That is a villain story, but you're rooting for them the whole time. And so to me, it was kind of like, all right, can I get the Ghost Rider that way, where something that's extremely powerful and all of the side effects and consequences of that, and how people deal with it and how people approach it, I think is much more interesting than Ghost Rider as an entity itself. And I think you're right. It's how people respond to it and react to it that makes it interesting and compelling. So having it as a villain really sets up a couple different angles to play with.
I feel like it's best as an anthology series. Ghost Rider is the spirit of vengeance, so Ghost Rider himself should be more of a force of nature, I feel like, and it's about the characters that are dealing with vengeance. Like, I'd love to see, like, a full series that's all just, like, on the road, and we get to see Johnny Blaze. Maybe we get to know him a little bit, but it's mostly about the other people who are in these situations causing someone to need revenge. He shows up, and he makes it better or worse or something throughout.
Yeah, I like Ghost Rider very much, so...
Nicolas Cage movies.
No, not those.
Okay.
Which is your favorite one, the second one?
No.
Is the one where he peaks fire?
That's everyone's favorite.
I stopped. I couldn't watch it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
The first one pissed me off so bad, I said, fuck you.
First one is very bad.
Yeah. But I love the comic book, so I'm not going to talk about the... Yeah, I disagree with the opening statement, so... I think Ghost Rider is fantastic, and I'm also happy that with the new twist on him, in the beginning I was like, oh man, they took something I loved and changed it, but then I was like, oh wow, this is awesome. So,
they injected the Punisher into it.
So I was very happy with the new change.
You're talking about the Cosmic Ghost Rider specifically, or are you talking about Robbie Reyes?
I was talking about how they got rid of the motorcycle and gave him a car and then changed who he was and stuff.
Are there other vehicles you want to see him drive?
Scooter.
Scooter?
Yeah,
scooter, Segway. Pogo stick would be great.
Ice cream truck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
What about just flaming shoes, feet?
Oh, cool.
You can walk around.
Ooh, or roller skate shoes? Or those roller skate shoes that just have skates like on
Wheelies.
The heel?
Yeah, Heelys. Yeah.
Heelys? Is that what
that's
they're called?
What they're called.
Are you sure?
I believe so. I mean,
maybe I wasn't sure if you were razzing me.
I would never. The wheels are in the heels. If this is making you angry because we're talking about other fun ways Ghost Rider could get around,
fucking move on.
We're talking about your favorite.
Not
thing.
Everybody has a car, Pete. What if it's a ghost subway? And he moves to the city.
Do we have any more audience questions?
He drives the subway.
I have an audience question. Does he have to pay ghost auto insurance?
Ooh, that's a great point. Because
we
actually have an audience member with a question.
Oh, we have an audience member with a question. All right, where is it? You over there, sir? Come on up.
Yes.
All right. Just real quick, is your question anything about Ghost Rider's vehicles? Yes or no?
It's mostly about Heelys and whether they're called Heelys or not.
Great. You can ask your question.
Yeah, cool. Are they called Heelys or not?
I think you know the answer.
No, I was going to ask, sort of on the note of the last question, what and why are your favorite comic book stories where the point of view character is a villain and we're supposed to be sympathetic to the villain?
Interesting.
What's up, Nat? Thanks for coming out.
That's great.
Way to call him out. So, nice. Favorite POV villain stories, what do you like about them?
That's tough. I think, I mean, there's been some good Doctor Doom series.
Mm-hmm.
I would throw out...
I got one.
Okay.
I didn't know if you were stalling or not.
No, I'm never stalling. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Greg Pak did a Magneto kind of origin that was very powerful and really well done, and I really love that.
What did you like about it?
I never was like... I just thought it told a story and gave a reason to be a villain and like really, I don't know. I thought it was well done. Yeah.
I guess the first thing that comes to mind for me.
Sorry, just real quick. That's Magneto Testament, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Is that what it is? So that goes back in time and it shows Magneto during the Holocaust. It follows him through that. Like you said, it's very emotional. It's really well colored as well. That's one of the things that's wonderful about it.
It's one of the first Carmen D. Giomenico, if I'm saying his name correctly. One of his first books.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
I was going to say Superior Spider-Man.
Yep. Fuck you.
Very aggressively the villain.
That is not good.
Really? I enjoyed it because even you're beyond getting in the head of the villain has to get in the head of the hero. So it's playing two things at once in a good way, I think.
Nope.
Cool. BJ, what about you?
Okay, so one thing about Superior Spider-Man, the thing that annoyed me is they didn't go all the way with it because you still had Peter Parker hanging around. Yeah. And right. I would have been like, you know what would have made this 100 times better? If Peter was fucking dead. Wow. I would have loved it. Because it would have been, okay, now what? What happens when you have to be this hero? So, but that was going to be my pick. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a G.I. Joe book by IDW where it's sort of half and half. Like it's half G.I. Joe, half Cobra. Mm-hmm. And they're giving like these different monologues for each of the characters. I think it's four issues. For the life of me, I can't remember the name of the series, but it's really fascinating because it'll start with, you know, like I'm Duke and blah blah blah, and this is why I'm G.I. Joe, and then it'll flip it around and it'll tell you like Destro's story, and then Destro will say I am Cobra.
Oh wow!
And that was really fantastic. I can't think of the name.
I have to check that out. That sounds awesome.
That was good.
There was, I'm completely forgetting the name of this book, but there was a book that Fred Land Lenti wrote years ago called, I think it was like MODOK 7 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
What? MODOK 11. Yeah, okay, yeah. There you go. That makes a little more sense. So yeah, MODOK 11, and it was him putting together a team of supervillains to pull off a heist, and it was ridiculous amounts of fun. I think the first thing I was going to pick before I chose that was Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Yes. That's what I was just...
Yes. Which is another thing where it takes, like, these... bad villains, like villains that never succeed. They're always in the first couple of panels being punched by the hero and then they're left to the side, trying to pull off these big heists and does it in these uber complicated ways. And what I think it's fun, what's fun about that is giving them this ownership, that it's these characters that can't do anything, finally getting a chance at the big shot, at the big time, and messing it up still anyway.
And let me throw out a non-trolling Pete answer. Shade, the comic book based out of Starman.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Which was great. There were two series. There was the first four-issue series, which was fantastic. Shade is sort of the second lead of the Starman series, written by James Robinson. And then there was a later series where Shade is going all around the world, like sorting out all of his issues. All great villain as the lead.
I got another one.
Yeah,
The Boys.
Oh yeah.
And that's a little bit of a spoiler if anyone hasn't read it, because at the end they kind of figure out, oh hey, wait a second, we're the bad guys. But that's fascinating because it's such a subtle switch that happens where you go through this entire series thinking you're reading about the heroes and they're out and they're righting the wrongs of the world and they're killing all these superpowered people who don't care about the innocent bystanders that get in the way. And then you get to the very end, and it's like, oh, wait a second, you guys were the bad guys all along. It's a great series. They're making a show of it.
They are. That's right.
Yeah.
Which is going to be intense. I mean, how can you put some of those things?
That's the world we live in, Pete.
Oh, man. This world's very serious, Pete. It's very serious, Pete. Penitstare. Can we take one more question?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. One more question. You, sir, right there. Come on down. What's your name? What's your question?
I am the Meander.
Oh, hi, wow. Pablo.
Hello, Pete.
Wow, what a jerk.
I come from... Oh, hello,
Pete's Justin. A jerk. No,
oh,
you're
calling him a jerk.
He undercut your Beyonder reference by revealing that you're Pablo the Beyonder.
No, no, no. That was a reference to Secret Wars 2, where the Beyonder comes down and says, I am the Beyonder, and then Spider-Man says, hello, Pablo.
Yeah, I always forget that.
Ooh, I missed that.
Pablo. Yeah.
My question goes to the... It's similar to the first question. What is the... Wow. well, the licensed properties that DC and Hanna-Barbera got together.
Yeah, yeah.
What if you... I don't know, just...
Like, what would ones we would want to do?
What do you consider a licensed property if DC were teamed up with that?
I mean, yeah,
What would you believe that your take would be?
In the Hanna-Barbera world?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, right. Cool.
So which DC Hanna-Barbera take would you like to see?
I'd like to see the Laugh Olympics, where we finally get to see the DC characters versus the Hanna-Barbera characters.
Wacky races.
The wacky races, also very good. Yeah.
I would definitely do the Hair Bear Bunch. That was my jam.
Yeah.
Dude, you know, that invisible motorcycle they rode around was pretty badass.
That was cool. They
were we doing mashups or were we doing just singular?
I was doing a mashup where the DC characters are competing in the Laugh Olympics.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
The Laugh Olympics are a fun Olympics.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, I just put that together.
Yeah. When you watch it, knowing that, it's so much fun.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
Because I know you're just like, oh my God.
I was like, how are they winning this? Where are the countries?
I can't believe Dastardly is winning the gold again. The stakes are so high.
Oh, boy. I'd love to see Booster Gold and the Jetsons. How about that?
All right.
That's good.
Fine.
Yeah, you seem super excited about that answer.
I don't know. I don't really know or care about the... Hanna-Barbera character.
What,
wow,
dude?
What a monster.
Yeah. I mostly watched PBS growing up. BJ, what about you?
That's obvious.
Cool. Yeah, let's get into the PBS expanded universe. Or Alex, why don't you tell us about the William Shakespeare expanded universe?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to see Henry IV and Batman.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a hot time at the theater.
Their couplets would be intense.
I'm a Shakespeare guy, so now my head is spinning. Like, holy shit, you could do Batman versus Macbeth. That
yeah.
Actually work. Okay, wait. So what I would do is Detective Chimp and an eco-terrorist version of Yogi Bear.
That's pretty good. I
and
like
Detective
that.
Detective Chimp has to stop Yogi from blowing up Yellowstone.
It's very funny to me that you just made a joke about Shakespeare and then very seriously said the words Detective Chimp.
I'm a man of many tastes.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Great questions. And that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
Woo! And now we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn over to Peter.
And how welcome that we talk about Shakespeare, because we would like to welcome to the stage the star of trivia. If trivia were a play, it would be called Pete LePage IV, Part 1.
Take your time, Pete.
You having fun?
Yes, it's so are you.
Back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. I'll take it from here. $25 free for anyone who wants to volunteer.
No, I'm volunteering. I want to win.
Oh, you want to win $25 free? Right? Just so you know, it's a Midtown gift card.
Oh, no thanks.
You know what? You're right, Alex. We never get to be.
Yeah, we never get a chance. We're on the show every week, and you never give us a chance.
Don't you ruin this sponsorship we have.
I thought you were about to say, don't you ruin my spotlight moment.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
I'm just standing up here to mark
off
the place for the
okay,
to hand off the mic.
That makes sense now. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising of the hand. First casual hand up guy. Come on down.
First casual hand.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Hey, Beyonder.
Thank you. This is Pablo. Pablo, audience Pablo. You're going to be rooting for Pablo to win.
Today's trivia
is on BJ. So listen to the question. Listen to all three possible answers.
Yes, sir.
Get all three questions right. $25 yours. On his website, bjmendelsohn.com, it says he is an author, a speaker, and a blank. Is it A, mall Santa, B, an aerobics instructor, or is it C, a god of Egypt? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or it's other ones where you wouldn't win.
It's A.
A is correct. It says that A is a mall Santa. Right. Is that true? Were that you once a mall Santa?
In Queensbury, New York at the Aviation Mall.
Yes, that is awesome. Wow,
very good.
That is awesome.
True, I don't need, but it's okay.
Okay. Question number two. He wrote the comic Vengeance Nevada, but what is the book he wrote called? Is it A, Words Without Pictures, B, Social Media is Bullshit, or is it C, Message from the King? So it's either A or it's B.
It's B.
B is correct. Really Social Media job. Is Bullshit.
That's a pretty book. Good title. I mean,
yeah. Okay, here we go. Last question. He once appeared at the UN to debate the leader of blank. Is it A, Pakistan, B, Kazakhstan, or is it C, Wakanda? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick B, or you could pick C.
It's A.
A is correct.
Nice.
That is
said
an actual true fact.
Beyonder level confidence.
All right. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, let's hope they still sponsor us after your little stunt.
What stunt was that?
I am looking forward to, let's say, Paper Ghost number 21.
Oh, nice.
Any reason?
Tell us about this book.
Is it just me, or does it feel like Paper Girls doesn't come out on a regular basis?
I think they took a short break, and they're kicking off a new arc.
Okay, good. Because
what would the new arc be teeing up?
I don't know, but it's been so long I've forgotten, and I'm excited to get back into it.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
Nice. So are you saying you know what it's teeing up?
Nope.
Oh. I thought you were leading Pete down a successful path rather than a path toward disaster, which is where we're almost always leaving.
Yeah. I was aiming for those puppets. It hasn't happened yet.
Nice. We're about to get there because I haven't made a pick yet.
I'll take your pick.
That's not how it works.
I'll do one. I'm looking forward to Hulk number one is coming out tomorrow. There's a new horror-inflected take on the character. Bruce Banner can never die. And always comes back as the Hulk, which is pretty cool. Yes.
Now, let me ask you, do you normally like the Hulk comic books?
Yes, I normally like the Hulk comic books.
Oh, because I wasn't sure, because you seem to really be pushing this horror thing, so I thought maybe you don't normally like
Hulk. I wrote a Hulk comic book.
That doesn't mean you like it.
I hated myself the entire time. No, I loved it, because in canon, the Hulk went out on a date with Dazzler. Yeah, good times, everybody.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Hulk team up, number one.
It
pick
does
it up.
Count.
It
does
not
count. You can't fight it, Pete. Yeah. It does count.
No. You can't fight the moonlight, and you can't fight that. But I am really looking forward to, if you're looking forward to the Hulk as well, we do a podcast that's put up in the feed every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. called The Stack. There'll be a review of that and a bunch of other titles. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Doctor Strange number one, another relaunch from Marvel Comics. I was really happy with the last run of Doctor Strange, where magic was taken away, and this feels like it's going to be sort of another way around that to make Doctor Strange powerful again. I'm curious to watch that journey.
Yeah, and it's by Mark Waid.
Mark Waid,
that's
of course.
Good stuff.
Oh, man. That's very
BJ,
good.
Plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
And also, a quick plug for Midtown Comics.
Oh, yeah.
Completely unsolicited. It's always, so I've been all over the country now. It is by far the best comic shop.
It is.
I always go down there with my brother. We always make the trek from Brooklyn and Queens. It's worth the ride. So, very cool that you guys are giving away a gift card. Vengeance Nevada is out in Comixology. BJMendelsohn.com. You can get a free copy of Social Media is Bullshit if you text me the word sheetrock. And what's coming out tomorrow that I'm really excited about is Justice League number one.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
So I was a huge fan, surprisingly, because metal kind of lost me after a certain point, but I really enjoyed No Justice. And now going into No Justice, Justice League number one looks great. It looks just like the old DC cartoon. going back about 10 years, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, that's great. You can also check out a review of that tomorrow in the stack, so please do. A couple of things before we go. This show is free to come see and free to listen to, but does cost us a little bit of money to do. If you're here in the theater and want to throw a couple of bucks in that hat over there, that would be appreciated. Or if you're listening at home, patreon.com/comicbookclub, as mentioned. We have a bunch of free gifts and prizes, including stickers and other things you can check out if you subscribe. Also, I should mention, we're doing a bunch more podcasts. We mentioned Cloak and Jabber at the beginning. We also have ongoing our... Thank
Real
you.
Real fan in the back of Cloak and Jabber.
Woo! Fan of the old Cloak and Jabber. There you go. We also have Inside Legion. Our Legion podcast is getting ready to wrap up. Two more episodes of that. Preacher Men, our Preacher podcast, is coming back very soon, so subscribe to that on the platform of your choice as well. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclub@live.com for the podcast. More, a couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank BJ for being on our show.
BJ.
Boothman Prime. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out.